Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I am Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Moses, Lessons of Ministry Calling. In this session, we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 4 and verse 13, surrendering to God. Let's read that verse. Exodus 4:13. He said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. The children of Israel were being severely oppressed by Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt, slavery and the slaughter of innocent babies. From their misery, they cried to God for freedom. God heard the cry and began to act on their behalf. In his response, we can see some key principles that continue to speak to us today as Christians. Why didn't God do something before that moment? Well, there's three reasons why that we can see in Scripture. First, God was keeping his promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 down to verse 16, then he said to Abraham, or he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God explained to Abraham that his descendants will do time as slaves in a foreign country. He also told them that they wouldn't receive the promise until he was ready to judge their captors. The Lord also revealed that he was going to give the people in the land 400 years to repent of their pagan ways. Well, what happened? The people in Canaan grew more sinful, requiring judgment. The land of Canaan would be given to the freed Israelites. Second, God was preparing his people to respond. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, down to verse 25, and then chapter 3, verse 7. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of their bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And then in chapter 3, verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. As bad as Egyptian slavery was, some accepted it. Remember how some of them lamented the good life of Egypt as they were moving through the wilderness. When Israel's sufferings were serious enough to cry for help, God replied. And then third, God was raising his leader to send in. His plan to rescue his people would involve his servant Moses. Moses developed a heart for the Hebrew people and eventually protected one from an Egyptian. Moses learned the ways of the people of Egypt while growing up in Pharaoh's family. And Moses trained as a leader of a nation of people by shepherding Jethro's flocks. The training of Moses and the cry of the children of Israel were brought together in God's perfect timing. His timing is important in a matter. Moses knew of his Hebrew roots. He watched the cruelty of the Egyptians against his people. In compassion, he acted rashly in his own time, in his way. And what was the result? Well, he got rejection by the Hebrews and prosecution by the Egyptians. And then look at Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15 for a moment. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" And then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Moses was welcomed into the family of Jethro, the priest of Midian, after he rescued his daughters. This became his home for the next 40 years. And Egypt became but a memory of the distant past. This can happen to us. How did Moses feel about going back to Egypt to serve God? Reluctant is a good word to use, to say the least. Moses doubted his ability to serve. Chapter 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" God assured Moses with two key things in verse 12. He would be with him, and ultimate victory was certain. Remember Paul's answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9? "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Moses dug a little deeper into God's plan. He wanted a little more information to go on. God gave Moses a threefold message for the children of Israel: a plan of freedom and provision. He told his identity in verse 13 down to verse 15. "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" So he gave his name. He also gave his promise in verse 16. "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to a land flowing with milk and honey.'" And he gave also his provision. Verse 18. "Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. There is no greater calling and no greater message than to be God's servant, telling people in the bondage of sin the good news of freedom in Christ. Moses despaired the worst to occur. In chapter 4, verse 1, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Why do we tend to assume the worst case? We often assume the worst possible responses from those to whom we share the gospel. We expect doors to be slammed. We expect ridicule. We expect complete rejection. And yet we have Jesus' words in John chapter 4 and verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Many will come to Jesus if we just go and get them. Moses declared his disability to God. Chapter 4, verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Didn't God know Moses was a lousy speaker? And didn't he know Moses stuttered? Of course he did. He made Moses. Who better to call us into ministry than the one who knows us best? Who can take us beyond our limitations better than the one who created us? Look at chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who made him, makes him mute? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. We sow seed and water it. God gives the growth. And yet, if no seed is sown, no growth can occur. And then Moses declined the opportunity in chapter 4, verse 13. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. No matter how God answered his questions and objections, Moses just didn't want to go. He had to leave his comfort zone. He had to face a powerful enemy. He had to deal with lots of people. God was not happy. Take a look at verses 14 to 17 of chapter 4. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. Your brother will be spokesman, and this rod will be your tool. Moses ran out of excuses. Despite fears and objections, Moses left the comfortable Midian countryside and went to Egypt in obedience to God. Look at verse 18. So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. And then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Well, let me ask you, what has God told you to do for him that you're resisting and making excuses about? We need to be ready to hear God's voice and respond with obedience. You think about that, and you have a great day.